Another day, another summit, this time in Brussels, where EU leaders, including Taoiseach Micheál Martin, gathered this morning. That NATO deal yesterday to massively increase defence spending is set for further analysis. This summit could also expose deep divisions within the European Union bloc over how to respond to Israel's continuing war in Gaza. Our Europe editor, Tony Connolly, has been setting out the priorities as leaders gather.
Well, Mary, it's been a very volatile 5 months, really, since President Trump took office, and it's become increasingly difficult for the European Council, which is the 27 leaders sitting together who normally would set the strategic agenda for the European Union. It's becoming more and more difficult for them to respond and to scramble to respond amid extremely fast moving developments. So obviously today they're going to be talking about the fallout of the Iran-Israel war, that NATO summit yesterday in The Hague. They're going to be talking about Ukraine, trying to signal to Ukraine, despite the opposition of Hungary and Slovakia, that it will be on course to join the European Union over the next number of years, and that process will have to continue. We're obviously going to be talking as well about the trade war between the European Union and the United States. We have a looming deadline of July the 9th for both sides to get to some kind of agreement in principle on tariffs, or those tariffs of 20% in some cases would potentially kick in. So there are a lot of issues on the agenda, and of course from the Irish perspective, how the EU should respond to the report that Israel is in violation of its trade and political agreement with the European Union because of the conduct of its war in Gaza and also in the West Bank.
And I want to stay with that Israel-Gaza war. Micheál Martin, who's attending the summit, was speaking about that trade agreement, and he was asked about the small number of national capitals which continued to veto tough action at EU level against Israel. He described it as very disappointing, and he's been telling journalists what message he'll be bringing to other EU leaders later on today.
The fundamental message I will bring really is that everybody in the room needs to reflect on the enormity of the catastrophe in Gaza and the slaughter of innocent children and civilians, the starvation of families, meaning basically release of all hostages, but a massive surge of humanitarian aid. Israel is not in compliance with the human rights clauses of the association agreement. And in our view, there has to be consequences for that. But also we need, really Europe needs to speak with a very strong voice to end this blockade and to get vital humanitarian aid into the population of Gaza. And otherwise, Europe will not have credibility if it doesn't do so.
Tony, are pro-Israel countries, Germany, France, are they likely to block efforts by Ireland and others to push for action against Israel over Gaza?
Well, there is a process at the moment, Mary, because there was a majority of countries that demanded a review into whether Israel was in compliance with Article 2 of the Association Agreement, which binds both sides to human rights and international humanitarian law obligations. Now, part of that process is that with the review now published and clear violations of Israel's obligations laid bare in that report, there are still divisions about how quickly the EU should move to punitive actions. The official approach by Kaya Kallas, who's the EU's foreign policy chief, is to take the findings of the review and bring them to the Israelis and say, look, we can take further action unless you massively ramp up humanitarian support for Gaza and get serious about a ceasefire. Those countries that have historically supported Israel, Germany, Hungary, the Czech Republic, and so on, do not want to turn this European summit into a very divisive shouting match over what to do next. They would rather try and use the report to put pressure on Israel and then in July, there will be another meeting of EU foreign ministers to see what measures could be taken if Israel does not change course. Now, obviously, the Irish government and others would prefer EU leaders to be sitting down today looking at a menu of options that could be taken, such as suspending aspects of the trade agreement, dropping Israel's involvement in the Horizon research and development funding, and perhaps other sanctions. But the consensus simply isn't there. And I think that the people who organise these summits would prefer that unity is maintained as much as possible to avoid a very divisive debate, which, to be frank, there are never any clear winners in these debates. And this is simply a function of the fact that member states do maintain a veto when it comes to foreign policy.
Let's move on to tariffs, Tony, and a potential US-EU trade agreement. We're not there yet. Are we getting closer?
Well, the indications that you hear are that the both sides have technical teams who are working away line by line across the board on product lines and where tariffs may or may not fall. The EU has offered a zero-for-zero agreement, bringing tariffs all the way down to zero. The Americans blow hot and cold on that. Ultimately, it's going to come down to Donald Trump himself, what he wants to do. But there are said to be fruitful contacts between Maroš Šefčovič, the EU's trade commissioner, and his counterparties in Washington. But it's clear that we're not there yet. And there are still debates or uncertainties over how robustly the EU should signal potential retaliation against those reciprocal tariffs that Donald Trump announced at the beginning of April, and whether certain goods should be taken off those retaliatory measures. Ireland, of course, has key interests in dropping medtech or aviation components off any retaliatory measures. But again, a lot of this is happening behind the scenes, and we're not going to know more now until we get to the final stretch before July the 9th.
And you were listening there to our Europe editor, Tony Connolly, 25 minutes past seven.